You are listening to Get Real Podcast.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the Get Real Podcast. This is Glenn in the Fishbowl. And today I'm very excited about the band that we have because they're another band that I had the opportunity to meet several weeks ago when I traveled to North Carolina to see my friends The Last Trumpet play. The band that we have with us today is Forever Ed. Guys, welcome to the Get Real Podcast.
Hey, Glenn, thank you.
Howdy.
So I see that we've got a lot of people in the room. Can you all go around and introduce who you are and what you do in the band?
I'm Mary Hunter. I'm a lead vocalist.
Corey Weaver, lead vocalist.
Tammy Fowler, keyboard and vocal.
Ernie Sally, lead guitar.
Larry Ellis, rhythm guitar.
Doug Hill, drum.
All right, the guy in the back there on the drums, I love it. We're going to talk to each of you as we go throughout the interview today. But Corey, I want to start with you. I was reading the band bios, and first of all, I was very impressed that I saw that you served in the United States Marine Corps. Thank you so much for your service in the Marines. But what was really interesting to me is you were pursuing music while you were in the Marine Corps. So how did that work, being a Marine and pursuing music?
It was tricky. when I was on active duty, I was fortunate to be stationed on the East Coast, where back in the mid to late 80s and early 90s, there was a lot more of a circuit for touring semi-local and semi-regional bands. And I grew up in an area where I got to meet several of the bands that would come to Jacksonville, North Carolina, before I even joined the Marines. And they would come down and come to one of the places I frequented. They would see me after figuring out, hey, this is him without any hair, type of a thing. You know, it kept me going. It kept me fresh and able to do what I love to do, you know, while I was serving my country.
One of the things that people think of when they think of a United States Marine is discipline. And that's actually where we get the word disciple from. So is there anything that you learned in the Marine Corps with the discipline that you learned there that you've applied to your walk with Jesus?
Definitely the biggest thing is to discipline, there I use the word, yourself, to be faithful, to have the daily walk. You've got to set it in your mind that you're going to do it every day, and you've got to force yourself to do it. There's a lot of days that I wake up in the morning and hit the alarm clock and say, man, I really run all over and go back to sleep. But no, get the coffee, get the Jesus, and let's get after it.
It is tough sometimes. It's really a putting down of the flesh to do what the flesh normally doesn't want to do. And often reminds me of when Jesus said to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's so very
Absolutely. True. So very true.
Absolutely. You mean to tell me, though, Corey, you didn't wake up every day in the Marine Corps saying, yeah, I'm ready to go?
Well, I was forced awake at 4:30 in the morning, and I better be ready to go by 5 o'clock.
There you go. We also have another member that I have some questions for, and that's Ernie in the back there. And he is a native of South Carolina, which is the home of the Get Real Podcast. Ernie, what part of South Carolina are you from?
I'm from a little town called Sally, South Carolina. It's in Aiken County, and it's home of the world famous Chitlin Strut.
I am very familiar with the Chitlin Strut. Yes.
Everybody in the free world is familiar with that. I mean, really.
And Ernie, you graduated from Clemson University, and our people that listen to the podcast here in South Carolina know that there's only two types of residents in South Carolina. You've got those that are Tigers that pull for Clemson, and then you've got those that are Gamecocks that pull for USC. And a lot of times you're going to find some houses divided where you've got fans from both in the same family. Were you from a house divided, or was everybody a Clemson Tiger where you're from?
Well, my personal house, I'm an only child, so we are totally united behind the orange. We are Tigers through and through. However, I've got cousins and aunts and uncles who have deviated to the dark side.
Uh-oh. Your band, Corey, Forever Red, is not something that's new. It's been around since the 1990s. And as I was looking at your bio and the history of the band, it's a band that has been through a lot of trial and tribulation and evolution to get where it is today. Can you give us a little bit of the backstory of how Forever Red came about?
Oh, well, let's see. It all started. Can we do the Wayne's World? It started for me in 1992. I met a fellow and we had started to put a band together back in that time period. The Christian hair metal was still big, Striper and Rez and Baron Cross, groups like that. And so that's kind of the direction we thought we were going to go. We had, you know, had the hair, we had the look, had the chops. We figured, why not give it a whirl and see what happens? And things just kind of ebbed and flowed. And about 4 years in, he happened to mention, well, you know, I know this other drummer and I know this bass player and I know this guitar player and we can do something else for a while we're trying to put this together. Little did I know that was going to start a 22-year run in a metal band. And I walked away from that group in 2014, and I was actually pretty much out of music for 2 years until he actually called me one day and said, I'm done. I'm throwing in the towel. I've had enough. I want to do something else. He said, what do you want to do? And I said, strange you should ask me that. Remember what we tried to do in 92? He said, yeah. I said, well, we're going to do this again. But this time we're going to do it a different way. And so that's how it happened. Started auditioning, started putting out feelers. I got Larry and Doug back here came first. And then I got Mary on board. Went through some members, and unfortunately he was one of them. But that's a story I'm not going to get into. And then got Todd, our bass player, who unfortunately is not with us. Todd's been on board, 2 years, Ernie?
Yeah.
About 2 years. And then Tammy, our keyboard player, she's been with us a month, maybe three weeks. She's the baby of the group now. So, you know, through metamorphosis and changing and prayer and a lot of late night conversations between each other and with God, this is kind of where we're at today.
What is it that you'd say that you're doing different now than what you were doing in 1992? Because your story is something that's very familiar, and it's something that I've even experienced in my own life. Get Real was a radio show back in the early 2000s, and we're doing it differently than we did it in the 2000s. What is it that you're doing different now than you did before in 92?
I'm not chasing the contract anymore. Fortunately, because I don't have to, and unfortunately, because I don't have to. And I'm not looking at, well, what if the label doesn't like the next song? We're not practicing 8 hours a day, 3 days a week, you know, all of that stuff. We're all older now. We've matured as musicians. We don't need to put in 6 and 7 and 8 hour sweat sessions like Skinner did in Hell House back in the 70s. We don't need to do that anymore. That's what we did back then. And we didn't turn down anything that came down the pike. If it was for 5 people, 10 people, 50, 100, 500, we didn't turn it down. We played whenever the opportunity arose. Kind of like what we'd like to do, but things have kind of come to be where we know how much we can play and when we can play, and we're good with that. But, I mean, we've matured, and it's just – and we're wiser. It's just made a big difference in how things are handled amongst ourselves and, you know, how we conduct ourselves as a band when we're out there in public.
And we've also got a group now that are focused on the common goal.
That's true. Yeah. Very true.
Definitely wisdom as you get older. I was saying to somebody yesterday, if I knew in the 2000s and in the 1990s what I know now, well, my life would be completely different. But the person I was talking to looked back at me and said, well, would you really have understood those things back then? I was like, yeah, I really wouldn't have. But the other thing that I see with you guys is a contentment now with where you're at. Is that how you feel with the way things are going?
Doug, I'm going to let you answer that one.
We're here to make Jesus famous. That is what we're trying to do. And we want to put the Lord first in our life and in our ministry. So, therefore, I think we'd like for the Lord to open some doors for us. But His will be done. We're ministering amongst ourselves. And He allowed us a couple weeks ago at a Freedom Biker Church, give them a plug, up in Hickory. He allowed us to witness the greatest thing that could happen in someone's life. He allowed us to see two people get saved. And these weren't children. These were older adults. So we know that God is using us
some kind of way, but that's great.
I mean, it's just great.
Yep, definitely.
That's what it's all about, is seeing people born again, really. And that's one of the things that I appreciate about the heart where your band is coming from. You guys not only put together great music, your sound is very good, but your lyrics glorify God. And by doing that, by putting the word in there, and there's no doubt that your songs are filled with scripture, it affects people and it brings them to salvation. And that is an amazing, amazing testimony. And that's really what it's all about. That is what it's about, is seeing people saved in the Great Commission and making Jesus famous. And that is really exciting to hear that you guys got to see that. So Corey, as you were developing from 1992 to now, there were different musical styles and genres that you kind of played around with. Things sounded different back then than they do now. What were some of the styles and genres that you kind of played around with to get you to the point where you're at today?
Well, back then and even today, I'm very heavily rooted in Southern rock. You know, that's a very key influence on what I do and how I write. Back then, I explored, obviously, with the hair metal. You know, that type of a thing. And I also, a lot of people don't believe it, but I listen to a lot of country and classical music as well. And that also kind of morphs into everything that when I'm writing or whatever is where the sound comes from. I mean, I was a band geek. I was a nerd in high school. I was in the marching band. I did drum and bugle corps before I went in the Marines. So I was very heavily into music through, you know, from very young age. And I mean, even 50s and 60s rock and roll through my mother, my uncle, and then into the 70s, you know, everything that I've heard in 51 years of life on this earth has come together to help me do what I do today.
Corey, you and I share something in common. I was a marching band guy, too, in high school.
Wow.
Now, I didn't really enjoy marching band. I enjoyed jazz band and I enjoyed symphonic band. I had the opportunity to play with a symphony orchestra when I was in high school. Probably one of my most memorable experiences. And I gave up music to pursue the military. And yeah. And I'm looking back now because I played trombone and I played piano. But now when I see these symphonic metal acts coming out and they've got this big symphony in the back, I'm like, I really do need to pick up trombone again. I am going to be rocking that thing in the back. But that's really, really cool. And you just said something that is something that I've realized as I've been interviewing different bands and researching different bands. a lot of people have this misconception that if you're a rocker or if you're into metal, that's all you listen to and that's all you're about. But one of the things that I've discovered is that a true musician, they listen to all types of music. It can range from classical to jazz to techno to calypso or whatever, and they put that all in there, and that's what makes them a better artist and a better musician. What I'd like to do is go around the room and have everybody share with us what type of music other than rock, hard rock, or metal that you like to listen to and that influences you.
When I was growing up, I sang classical music, so I had won a lot of contests for opera, but I listen to Christian music now most of the time, so I hear something new every day, and the music that I listen to really speaks to me, you know, about what's going on in my life. So, yeah.
And?
Well, being a praise and worship leader of a church, of course, mostly listen to Christian music. My pastor is kind of stuck on Southern gospel, so we hear a lot of that. We have every third Saturday, we have, a service where we have a group come in. And so usually that's Southern gospel. Myself, when I'm by myself in the car, it's probably going to be, I would say, rock. And also, I would probably say, like, the Christian music, you know, like praise and worship is what I would listen to. And I'm a songwriter, so... I like listening to the music as well as the words. A lot of that just, you know, like she said, speaks to you. Yep. So I enjoy that.
Well, I'm like you. I'm a band geek too. So when I was in high school and middle school, I played trumpet. I did the marching band, the symphonic band, the jazz band, Governor's All-Star Band, solo and ensemble and all that, yada, yada, yada. So I got some formal music training when I was in school, and that's where I got my background. And basically taught myself guitar. But during that time, you know, I try not to hit too many bad notes. And whenever I do, I claim that's my impromptu jazz influence coming through. So, but I grew up on rock and roll, you know, Kiss. I'll even go back with Partridge Family, okay?
Yeah.
I thought those were the coolest things, you know, growing up.
Yep.
But, you know, I was a big Ozzy fan, Black Sabbath, Zeppelin, Hendrix, all the 70 guitar stuff. And then along came Van Halen and Dokken and Guns N' Roses and all of that. So, you know, I'm into hair metal. I'm not really into dark metal or anything like that. I like, mostly what I listen to now is like, it's like a plethora of all different types. I listen to blues, Texas blues. I listen to classical. Whenever I really just want something to chill and listen to, I listen to smooth jazz. I love funk. I love funk.
Yeah,
man. Sly and the Family Stone, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Oh, man. All that 80s stuff with the thump and bass and everything. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's me right there. Yep. And yeah, pretty much anything. I listen to, mostly what I listen to right now really is just Forever Red. Because I'm constantly listening to our songs thinking, what can we do better and what can we do next?
Yep.
Because we're kind of a blend of everything. And a lot of what I listen to out there now and here on the radio, it's cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I listen to, you know, I listen to K-Love. I love K-Love. Listen to, you know, the other Christian stations and all, and they're just sitting there. It's like they got a machine putting out artists today. And everything, I hate to say it, but it tends to sound the same. And it's morphed into a business more than a tool to praise God.
Yeah.
And which, I mean, it's wonderful because it reaches millions and millions of people, but I think the heart is kind of gone from where it started out. And with where we are and what we're doing, I mean, we're doing it because of our passion. And you know, we're not invested in all that. We're not part of the machine. We're part of God's machine. Let him turn, let him put the power to us and turn the cogs the way that they'll be turned. And we're just the gear spinning off of that cog wherever he wants us to go. That's where we're going to go.
Yep. That's it.
That's me.
Well, I grew up on start with Kiss as one of the most of my influences. And then Skynyrd and Stryper and all the, like Corey said, the hair metal bands of the 80s, the 90s. And, you know, it's, I like all kind of music. Pretty much that's about it. Doug.
Here in this little realm, you ever heard of a group called Paul Revere and the Raiders?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Years ago, when I was, well, I was a child, I kind of liked that music. And then I evolved, like Ernie was saying earlier, I like it out. I like it out. There's, I've been playing Southern gospel at our church for over 30 or 40 years. Going on 40 years almost now, and played in some country gospel bands, and that was a running joke with my thing. I played both kinds of music, country and western.
I love it. I love it.
I'll tell you a funny story about Doug. Doug and I have actually tried to work together several times for about the last 5 years, and things just never would materialize. We'd get something would start and then it would just go. So obviously I was trying to do that as a side project with my other stuff. And then when I started this, of course, putting out the ads, looking for everybody. And he was actually the first drummer that replied. And I said, oh, there's Doug. Okay, let's give this a whirl again, see what happens. So I've actually, out of this group, I've actually known Doug the longest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was meant to be.
It was.
It was meant for you to work together. That's really cool. That's cool. So, Corey, if I was somebody that came up to you off the street and I asked you, describe Forever Red, what kind of music do you play? What would you say?
What do you want to hear? Are you in the mood for rock? Are you in the mood for blues? Are you in the mood for Southern rock? You want a ballad? You know, it's just, it's a straight ahead Christian music. It's like Ernie said, we're not defined to a style. I call us basically the top 40 of Christian music because we have a little bit of everything that gets thrown in. You'll hear metal influences. You'll hear Southern rock influences. You'll hear Southern gospel. You'll hear country, you know, all of it. And when Ernie hits a clunker, his jazz improv side there. but you'll hear all of it in our music. So I guess to label us, we're just a Christian rock band that likes to play whatever we come up with.
I really appreciate that, because what that allows to happen is it allows the Spirit to move where he desires to move.
Yeah. Tammy, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was about to say, since I'm learning a lot of this new to me, what I've seen is we have a lot of chord patterns that are kind of out of the ordinary. I've been a songwriter now for a very, very long time, and a lot of the songs are very different from what you hear out there. They're coming from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes them good.
Yep, definitely.
We do it because we love it.
That's right.
You're being used as vessels. And that is really a rare find these days, because as you said earlier, it's so much that's in the machine that's cookie cutter. It's become a business. And when it becomes that way, it makes a very restrictive box that the Spirit can move in. And one of the things that we joke around here a little bit about at the Get Real podcast and up here in what we call the Fishbowl is that when you're talking about music genre, what is it that God likes the most? Well, he likes it all because he created all of it.
Yep.
So he's very fluid when it comes to genre, not gender fluid, but genre fluid with the spirit.
Right. Yep.
That's the way that it works. Forever Red is an interesting name. Can you give us the background behind that name?
Well, of course, the obvious is, you know, the forever red blood of Jesus, as it's stained into the cross. But I actually have had the name in my head since the early 80s and always thought it would be a great band name, just a great band name. And when we started this band, we were actually under a different name. And so when the time came to come up with a new name, I said Forever Red. And everybody liked it, and it just kind of meant, it kind of emphasized what we're meaning and what we're wanting to do, you know, for the glory of God.
And what she's not telling you is it was also her favorite perfume back then.
Yes, it was my favorite perfume. They don't make it anymore.
Nope.
So we're the smell good baby.
Yeah. But it works.
And red represents love.
Yeah.
The love of Jesus.
Yep.
So the truth comes out.
Right.
The perfume. I got it. So So the song Forever the song Forever Red, does that have to do with the perfume, or can you tell us a little bit about that song, because I'd like to play that for our listeners?
No, that actually deals with the crucifixion solely with that. And as I was, once we changed the name, I said, okay, let's see where I can go with this. What can I do with this name? Because I've always been told in every band I've ever been in, never write a song with your band name in it. Well, every band I've been in, I've always written a song with the band name in it. It's always been one of the biggest hits for whatever reason. So I sat down and I said, Forever Red. Okay. Started reading, and of course went through the Gospels, and I was reading the crucifixion. And there's a line in the chorus, I believe it's the chorus, that I wrote the song, can't remember, where the cross is stained forever red. And my, I guess, meaning behind that is we don't know where that cross is today. We have no clue. But wherever it is, intact or in pieces, there are, we know of, at least three pieces that are stained forever red by his blood, wherever they are. So that's really the whole meaning behind that song. And the fact that, you know, he went to such lengths to go ahead and just openly give his life and just let that cross be stained for all of us, that stain, taking away sin stain that we're all born with. That's right.
And that ties in with your mission of leading the lost.
Exactly.
The sky has gone to black as the demon start to laugh. The Savior of the world has drawn his final breath. Ninth hour is at hand.
So, guys, let's go behind the music for a minute here. You are more than just a group of people that get together to rock for Jesus. You are really a fellowship of believers that are seeking to glorify Jesus. And one of the things that you do is you encourage each other to grow spiritually. What does that look like behind the scenes?
Behind the scenes, that looks like a lot of text messages. Doug over here is our resident, encourager. Yeah, he will, every week he'll send a text message. It's usually the Sunday school lesson that he's preparing for the week, and he gives us the scripture and everything. But it's very encouraging, and that kind of just lifts us up, and keeps us focused, keeps us sharp. So he'll definitely be the one to do that.
So there's a lot of interaction during the week then between each of you.
We're not one of these that we just see each other for 2 hours on a Monday night and then 2 hours for a set. No, we're constantly communicating. All of us in a group chat, or we'll communicate one with another through individual text. Ernie and I tend to blow it up a lot, too, because we're kind of we're the driving force right now behind the music.
Pretty much.
Which could be a good thing or a bad thing. We're waiting. I'm waiting with bated breath for Tammy to drop some of her stuff in on us. So, which is going to be pretty cool.
I'm ready, but I just want to make sure
it was the right time.
If you really wanted me to,
Yeah.
I've already got the stuff in mind that I would like to.
The reason we brought Tammy on was because we've wanted a keyboard in this band since we reformed it 5 years ago, 4 years ago. And we never could find the right one. Mary, she's tried, but she's like me. She can either play or sing when it comes to that. So, no, I can't do both when it comes to that either. But and I knew Tammy from another group. I've been following them for many years. And through some events that were, I guess, the Lord's timing, we managed to finally incorporate her into the group, and I'm excited for what she's going to bring in as far as her music.
Yeah.
We can't wait.
We crossed paths at the right time, and we all ended up getting on the same bus.
Yep. That's it.
And it looks like the wheels on the bus are going round and round quite well now, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, let's talk about the heavy and the crunch. There is a song that you have that really caught my ear. It is Mac the Metal Dog Approved. Mac. Hey, Steven, is Mac in here still?
No, he's not.
He is not. He has left the studio. He's probably sitting outside with bated breath. But the name of the song is The Rope. Can you give us a little bit of background behind that song?
Well, I mean, we go through a lot of changes in our life. We're on one path and make a choice to go on another path. And whether you go the right way, at some point you get another chance to get back on the right path. It's just a song that I felt and kind of pulled out of myself. And, Jesus is always right there just to throw you that rope whenever you need it.
Yep. That was Mary's very first offering to the group, and as far as from a writing standpoint, and I got to say, she knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
She did. She knocked it out of the park on that one. Definitely.
Well, Mary gets an A+ on the heavy and the crunch for this one.
I'll look for those.
5 gold stars.
I'm a cold, always on the back.
typically in a year, you guys do a lot of shows, and I know that COVID this past year has kind of put the halt to a lot of that. Do you have anything on the horizon for our listeners, especially up in the North Carolina and the upstate South Carolina area, where they can come and see you?
Not at this point in time. This time of year, you know, the holidays, we usually just lay back. We really don't get together much in practice either. We take time for family, which is very important to all of us. We're all married. We've all got kids. We've all got grandkids. Yes, I said grandkids. We're that old.
I don't know
yet. Well, yeah, you know. We focus a lot on family this time of year, because that's what this time of year is supposed to be about. From Thanksgiving on through New Year's, you want to draw your family close. And this band has seen some ups and some downs. We've had a lot of good times over the last couple of years, and we've had some hard times. We've lost some family members, and we've lost some friends. And so that's what makes this time of year, especially this year, as funky as it's been, that much more special to us, that, you know, we're going to spend that time with family, but we're not going to forget about each other. You know, that's the main thing. We're always just a phone call away for anybody.
Yeah, we're a family also.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're using this time to record our album, so we've been working hard on that as well.
Yeah. Yep.
For this last month of the year, the month of December, we are going to make you guys, Forever Red, our Artist of the Month. And for our listeners, you'll be able to go to our website at lithoscry.com, LITHOSCRY.com, to find out more about Forever Red. We're going to feature them on the website. And guys, where can our listeners find out more about you? What websites and social media outlets do you have available for them to find you on?
Okay, we have, first and foremost, we have our Facebook page, facebook.com/redheadsworldwide, and that is spelled REDHEADZ, worldwide. I kind of changed that up a little bit so they can find us there. There will be several videos of live performances that will be on there. We have a few videos on YouTube right now. If you search Forever Red, you can find us there. We still have our Twitter account?
No, not Twitter.
Okay, all right.
But we still have a webpage, foreverred2019.com.
Okay. So on that'll give, I believe, all the bios of every one of the band members is on there. And I think we've got some music on there. If not, we'll put some new stuff up.
We have music.
Three on there.
Okay.
Yes, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And Tammy, why don't you throw a plug for your stuff out there too? Your solo stuff.
Well, I have it under Tammy Keller Music. It's actually stuff that I do on my own. And I've done probably about, I'd say, 4 or 5 gigs this past year. Of course, things were kind of, you know, bad because of COVID and everything, but I was very blessed to have been able to witness for the Lord. And so my name's Tammy Kellen Fowler. You can look up me on Facebook. And I am willing to come to people's churches and sing my music and just give God the praise, because He deserves the glory.
Yep.
Tammy, can you spell that out for us, please, so that our listeners can write that down?
Tammy, T-A-M-M-Y, Kellum, K-A-L-L-A-M, Fowler, F-O-W-L-E-R, Tammy Kellum Fowler.
Thank you. Guys, I've really enjoyed interviewing you today and looking forward to seeing what God's going to do with you in 2021. And you did say that you have an album coming out, is that correct?
Yeah, we're doing some retooling on it. We had gotten it finished recording, and we're going through it. Two of the tracks that you got actually came from the album. With the addition of Tammy, we want to go back and put the keyboard and stuff in there, and then we'll remaster it and try to get it out. At this point, I'm going to predict early to mid-spring.
Nice.
And it will be available. It will be available on our website, on Facebook. You know, you can pre-order it there. And as far as 2021 goes, right now, I'm in the looking and booking phase. So hopefully by, you know, January, I'll have some dates to put on there for next year. Like I said, right now I don't do a whole lot, but if something comes in, you know, before I put it out, I confirm it with everybody else. I don't just go out there, go cowboy and book 50 or 100 shows. You know, that's not a good thing. So I like to make sure that it works with everybody before I'll book it. Now, if we were booked for 100 shows this year, to God be the glory, but, you know, we'll take what we get and, you know, we'll go as directed. Wherever the door or window's open, we're going to go through it.
Well, as we get closer to the release of your album, we'll have to circle back around and do another interview and we'll talk specifically about the album. I'd love to have you guys back on the show. Be a lot of
fun. Definitely. We'd love to come back.
And for our listeners, if you've got any questions that you want to shoot over to us here at Get Real at Lithos Cry, you can do so through our email account. And that is lithoscry, lithoscry@gmail.com. And people, peace out and rock on. See you next week.
lithoscry.com.